every Monday through Thursday in my classes, Ike, I have the ability to put my pulse on the hands of the students. I know what the student issues are. They help me in my role. I really believe in this concept of reverse mentoring, you know, what we can learn from younger people. And so just through constant conversations with them over the course of 15 weeks, it really helps me know where I should put my time and energy and how the division in the university needs to meet the needs of students.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you are listening to Into the Fold, Issues in Mental Health. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Some of our listeners may know that the Hogg Foundation has been a part of the University of Texas at Austin since the foundation's creation more than 75 years ago. But did you know that we are part of a large and increasingly important division that's just over a decade old? UT Austin's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement, established in 2007, is quite a colossus, consisting of a multitude of units and constituent organizations that can be grouped into five main categories: campus culture, community engagement, K-12 initiatives, undergraduate programs, and research. They all pertain to the division's central mission of making diversity and community engagement a top priority for UT's flagship campus. Dr. Leonard Moore was named the new Vice President for Diversity and Community Engagement in June of this year. As the new head of DDCE, he has a big job, one that has real implications for the greater Central Texas region. Known on campus for his contagious energy and ingenuity, he's here today to talk about his vision for the division. We are recording in Dr. Moore's office on the University of Texas main campus. Dr. Moore, it's an honor to have you with us.
Mike, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
So after about a year as interim, you're just a few months into your official tenure as Vice President for Diversity and Community Engagement. What are your priorities right now?
It's interesting because, you know, I was in an interim role for about a year, and I tell people the big difference between going from interim and permanent is when you're interim, you got to write everything in pencil. And once you become permanent, you can pull out a pen. And so I think for me, man, initially, it's making sure the division is sustained for long-term growth. We are in a very different political moment than we were when the division was created in 2007, created 06, 07, right before President Barack Obama.
Kind of an understatement that
Right, you know, and so I think, you know, a lot of these programs have been around, I would say in the Midwest, and Ivy Leagues, you know, late 60s, early 70s, they were called minority affairs offices. So for me, man, you know, in terms of priorities, number one, we got to make sure we're sustainable. Number two, we have to make sure that we are primed for growth. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The Austin situation is unique. Now, if I were VP of diversity at Michigan or Ohio State, it would be different. But I think Austin is unique. And one half of my job deals with community engagement. And we, and you know, Ike, that we are living in a city with the fastest growing economy of any metro area and also fastest growing population in the metro area. So there's a lot of wealth being created in Austin. One of my major main priorities is to make sure that everybody gets a piece of the pie. You know what I mean? And so We opened up an Office of Inclusive Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We launched a global leadership platform as well. So we're hoping that those two initiatives can move the needle for us in the community.
So can you tell us a little bit about the history of DDCE and what led up to its creation?
It was created, I would say the genesis of the division was in 2005. I wasn't here yet. It was called something like Diversity and Cross-Cultural Effectiveness. It had a very long title that nobody knew what it meant. In 06, 07, that's when President Bill Powers made it a vice presidential portfolio. So I was a part of that. I think I was the first person that my previous boss, Dr. Vincent, I think I was his first off-campus hire. So the division was launched on, I think, August 31, 2007. I was hired on July 1, 2007. So I've been here since the beginning.
I would like to know a little bit more about where you're from, some of the roads you've traveled to get here. How did you wind up being the right fit for this position at this university, and what makes you a unique choice?
From Cleveland, Ohio, and, you know, grew up in a half-Black, half-Orthodox Jewish community. Went to a historically Black college in Jackson State University, finished there in 1993. And I like to tell people that I wasn't a very good high school student. I finished high school at a 1.6 grade point average. So I have the unique history of going all my entire 12 years of never hearing my name called at an assembly. All right. And so I went to Jack State University, did well there academically, had some great professors who mentored me. Then I went to Cleveland State, got a master's degree, Ohio State, got a PhD. And I was a professor for 9 years at LSU. At LSU, when I got there, they had about 30,000 students, had about 20 black faculty. So about three or four of us were really active. And so at LSU, we were the de facto chief diversity officer at LSU, you know, launching programming, doing a lot of mentoring, doing a lot of community work. So I think my experience is being 9 years at LSU and then 11 here at Texas before I was made permanent VP has really given me, I believe, the experiences needed to function well in the role.
One thing that stands out about you, is your classroom experience. I was admiring the...
Oh, the teaching award.
Yeah,
thank you.
Teaching award that you get. And you can feel free to say more about that. And your passion for teaching. So how do you incorporate that into your work?
It's my love, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, I got into higher ed to be a professor. And, you know, I tell people, how do I incorporate into my work? I teach 1,000 students, Ike, every fall semester. And so being in this role now as vice president, you know, where these student issues pop up all the time, you know, whether it's statues, whether it's guns, whether it's, you know, transgender bathrooms, a whole set of issues. Every Monday through Thursday in my classes, Ike, I have the ability to put my pulse on the hands of the students. I know what the student issues are. They help me in my role. I really believe in this concept of reverse mentoring. You know, what we can learn from younger people. And so just through constant conversations with them over the course of 15 weeks, it really helps me know where I should put my time and energy and how the vision in the university needs to meet the needs of students.
So I was an undergrad here more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
It seems to me that whenever people get to talking about young folks, which I can still pass for as, depending on the crowd, not as much anymore. There's a tendency to talk a lot more about their deficits than about their strengths.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I've gotten from you, you're taking a very strengths-based,
absolutely,
kind of contemporary buzzword, a strengths-based approach.
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I think if more of my colleagues would teach, those that wanted to, I think they would find it valuable.
So one of the division's most important functions is monitoring the campus climate with respect to issues of diversity and inclusion. A positive campus climate has a lot in common with what the Hogg Foundation means by a mentally healthy community. Mm-hmm. So what, from your perspective, are the issues at play on campus and beyond, and how is DDCE addressing those?
I think our approach may be a little different, Ike. You know, and I tell students all the time, you know, there are times when bias incidents pop up on campus. And as a daytime community, UT has about 70,000 people on campus every single day. We're a miniature city. So no matter what we do, as a university, you can't prevent somebody from going to put up a flyer that says discriminatory things, right? You just can't. But what I tell students that, you know, you can hold the university responsible for how we respond to it. You know, as it relates to campus culture, I think, you know, I mean, I was just engaged with some conversation with people over in Greek Life. You know, they're starting to do more diversity issues. And this is West Campus. You know, these some of our, you know, fraternities and sororities,
right,
who have traditionally been, you know, pretty, pretty white. But even they are beginning to think about issues of diversity. Had a meeting with a director of the Longhorn Band, and he wants to know how to make his organization more diverse. So I think when we start getting, you know, African-Americans and Latinos and other people into spaces they haven't been before, I think it creates a healthy campus climate. But also I'll say this, we also have to teach our students how to be resilient, you know, letting them know that people will say things you don't like and people may shout things you don't like and people may express opinions you don't agree with. But our goal is to help them understand that that's life, whether we like it or not, and, you know, that they can overcome it and be resilient and keep moving forward in spite of it.
So how would you characterize the relationship right now between yourself and our university president, Greg Fenves? How are you working together to move the university forward when it comes to issues of diversity and community engagement?
Yeah. I'll say this, Ike. You know, when you were younger and you may aspire to certain positions, things of that nature, you don't realize how important it is who you work for until you get in the job. You know what I mean? I think because we have a great relationship, I think because he is an engineer by training, kind of no-nonsense, you know, no-nonsense guy. You know, I think he believes in terms of return on investment. But I like the relationship because he is never, even when I was interim, he never put handcuffs on me. So I think there's a trust there, you know, and I appreciate him giving me the latitude to sort of, you know, build the division out according to my vision.
Okay. And so does he ever seek you out just looking for your point of view?
I tell you, we meet monthly and as we need to. But I think in terms of our leadership team at Texas, I think we have a great team. And I've talked to some other people just about how well our leadership team gels together here at UT. And they told me, Leonard, you need to be thankful for that because that's rare in the academy. But I think it starts with him. I think it starts with the president, you know, who operates by conviction. You know what I mean? There are some things that he will always fight for. And I'm just glad to be able to work with him in this capacity.
So the Hogg Foundation, my organization, is considered a part of community engagement within DDCE. Thanks to our strategic plan, we have community on our minds a great deal lately. DDCE recently launched the Community Integrated Health Initiative. It's being led by our own executive director, Dr. Octavio N. Martinez, Jr. I would love to have the both of you on at some point to talk in more depth about the initiative once it's further along. But what can you tell us about it now?
I think, as Dr. Martinez would say, you know, there are a lot of things that go into somebody's mental health or physical health that have nothing to do with medicine, meaning school, food, all that goes into it. And so, you know, UT just opened up a new medical school about three years ago. And they're also, Austin has recently launched this innovative health district where they're going to do some cutting edge things that relates to healthcare. I felt it was important that we build a platform out for several reasons. Number one, to ensure that equity issues are being addressed. That's number one. To make sure, as all this health innovation is taking place, that low-income and working-class people have access to the latest technologies. And number two, to make sure that young people, particularly in the city of Austin and UT students and students from around the area, that they see that they can pursue career paths in these emerging areas. I mean, we all know that healthcare is a big-time industry. And so we just felt that Octavio would be the right person to build out this initiative. And, you know, we're just figuring out Ike as we move along. You know what I mean? I know he's put together a steering committee. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where we are a year from now. And it was funny when I told Octavio about the opportunity, this vision I had, and I said, Octavio, it's just on a napkin. This is just some ideas in my head, but I'm convinced you could run with it. And hopefully we'll be able to see some practical value from it within the next year or so.
I'm trying to sort of rehash those conversations that were had, you know, a few years ago about Dell, when it was still just an idea.
Right.
It has a pretty unique funding mechanism.
Very unique.
And a complex kind of messaging.
Absolutely.
But I do remember one of the deliverables was supposed to be, because, you know, local folks were ponying up.
That's right.
To help fund it, that it would give something back to the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're just ramping up, you know, getting all their faculty in place, things of that nature. But, you know, hopefully, you know, Octavio will be in some of those conversations.
Yeah.
I was in some of those conversations, but that's way above my pay grade, Ike.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm convinced, you know, Octavio being a psychiatrist, that I think he can move the ship in the right direction.
So how long have you lived here in Austin?
I moved here 2007.
2007,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And what are your, like, strongest overall feelings, impressions about the city as you've come to know it compared to other places you've been?
I think there are several Austins, let me say that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'm a part of two of them. I'm a part of a UT Austin community, which is a group in and of itself. But I'm also a part of, Ike, I would say, a black suburban community. Mm-hmm. We live out in Round Rock. And for those of us, you know, who have, you know, who are gainfully employed, who have health insurance and things of that nature, Austin is a great place to live. You know what I mean? Very family friendly, cost of living relatively affordable out in the suburbs. But I understand that my experience may be unique. And so I think in terms of the division, you know, how do we make sure that particularly people who are being, you know, migrating out to Del Valley, Manor, even parts of Elgin, kind of people being sort of pushed out of traditionally, you know, black and Latino areas. How do we, you know, make sure they share in some of this prosperity?
Dr. Moore, thank you so much for adding your voice to the things that we've been trying to say lately about community, mental health, and as it relates to your important role here at the University of Texas. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, man. We're glad you're on the team.
Dr. Moore has quite an ambitious plan for DDCE, one that is already in play. You can check out what Dr. Moore calls his six big ideas at diversity.utexas.edu. In addition to the Community Integrated Healthcare Initiative that we've already talked about, these big ideas include academic creativity and design, inclusive innovation and entrepreneurship, global leadership and social impact, community engagement and economic development, and finally, university culture. Although the Hawk Foundation serves the entire state of Texas, on the podcast, we have occasionally used the community of the University of Texas at Austin, where we are located, as a backdrop for conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion. To hear more about the university's role in engaging community around these concepts, I recommend listening to the following additional episodes. You can find links to each in the description of this podcast. Episodes 49, Building a Model Healthy City. Episode 52, Black Student Athlete and Mental Health, A Player Speaks Out. Episode 57, Supporting Our Dreamers. Episode 60, Mental Health in the College Classroom. Episode 70, Designing for Mental Health. Additionally, I recommend episode 56 for my two-part conversation with Dr. Kristen Smith, professor of anthropology at the University of Texas at Austin, about an example of the social climate that DDCE seeks to transform. That does it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us.